Father, we bless you, we honor you, we glorify you. We welcome your mighty presence in this place, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you once again, Lord God, for your great revelations unto your word. Help us to fully grasp and receive the truth. Thank you for the privilege of seeing from afar this great truth of the feast, O God, we are now seeing so clearly, meaningfully, and understandably, Lord God. So Holy Spirit, we pray, as we come again for to study another feast today, God, I just pray to speak to us clearly what is in your heart, so we may be able, Lord God, to follow and to obey your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we are going to continue on the feast of the Lord as given to the people of Israel. And we have already finished the three feasts that the Lord are giving to them. The first feast is we studied about the Passover, which is the significance, historical significance, is the freedom of the Israelites in the land of Egypt from slavery. It's also the time when in the lamb is slain and the blood are applied onto their doorstep. Spiritual parallel of this feast. Spiritual parallel or fulfillment of this feast is the death of Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole world. And our personal significance is redemption, our deliverance from this world into the family of God through faith in Christ Jesus. The second feast that we studied is the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, which is the historical significance is wherein the people of Israel had to go out from the land of Egypt in haste, quick out, because that is the time when the Lord our God giving them the go signal to go out and travel going to the promised land. A spiritual parallel of the fulfillment is Jesus' sinless life and burial. This is when the Lord Jesus, during Sabbath, he is on the tomb, in a tomb. Personal significance of this Feast of Unleavened Bread is sanctification. Our walk with God being free from the leaven of sin that corrupts our lives, our body, our lives. The third feast that we have studied last week is the Feast of the First Fruits, which is celebrated in one day right after the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. After the Sabbath, the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Historical significance is this is the first fruits of the harvest when they enter in the promised land, that they have to take the first harvest of the crops that they have planted in the promised land and then offer first to the Lord before they start celebration or they start continue harvesting their crops. Spiritual parallel and fulfillment is Jesus' resurrection from the dead as the first fruit of resurrection. Jesus was the first to be raised in a new resurrection body, never to die again. He is the approved offering of God for our sin. Personal significance is consecration or setting apart, living in newness of life of a new creation in Christ and offering ourselves back to Him. So we all see and understood that these three feasts that the Lord are given, the first three that the Lord God given to Israel is already been fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ in His time here on earth in His ministries. The people of Israel that is rehearsing this feast is being fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ and unveiled in their eyes when He is here in earth. Now we are going now to take and look on the fourth feast, which is the last feast during the spring time of Israel, which is the Feast of Pentecost, or they are sometimes called Feast of Weeks. So let's read Leviticus chapter 23, verse 15 to 22, wherein the Lord our God giving these laws to the people of Israel. And you shall count yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheep of the wave offering, 7 Sabbath shall be completed. Count 50 days of the day after the 7th Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwellings 2 wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. Then they shall be of fine flour, then shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruit of the Lord, and you shall offer with the bread 7 lumps of the first year. Bread, 7 lumps of the first year, without blemish, 1 young bull and 2 rams. They shall be as the burnt offering of the Lord, when their grain offering and their drink offerings and offerings made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of goats as a sin offering and 2 male lambs of the first year as a sacrifice of the peace offering. The priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruit as a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim on the same day that it is holy convocation to you. Convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field. When you reap, nor shall gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor, for the strangers. I am the Lord your God. So the verse that we're reading is very detailed on how the Israelites should be celebrating the Feast of Weeks. This Feast of Weeks are mentioned 5 places in the first books of the Bible, which is in Exodus chapter 23, mentioned and also in Exodus 24, wherein these laws had been given to the people of Israel in Mount Sinai. And in verse 3 and verse 7 of chapter 24, the people of Israel agreed for this covenant, and they said, all the words of God have been written, we will do. So the people of Israel agreed on this covenant that whatever the law God had given them, they are going to do. And it's also included this feast that the Lord are giving to them in Mount Sinai. Also mentioned in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 15 to 22, which is we just read. This is the time wherein God are giving them this law, and it is written in the tablets wherein Moses is spending 40 days and 40 nights on the top of the mountain. In Numbers, also mentioned in 28, 18 to 23, wherein they are in the 40 years in the wilderness, traveling, going to promised land. It's also reminded to them to observe this feast. And also in Deuteronomy chapter 16, 9 to 12, this law is also reviewed for all to those who are new generation, because almost all of the people or the old that is came out from the Egypt, they all already died. This has been expounded to the people, the new generation, before they cross to the River Jordan and take the promised land which God had been given to them. Now, the instruction is wait for 50 days after the Sabbath, meaning these 50 days start from the celebration of the Feast of First Fruits. It said that you have to start counting from the start of celebration of the first fruits 50 days during the first day of first fruits. And then the 50 days also is the meaning of that is the Pentecost. So you have to wait for 7 Sabbath, meaning 7 weeks, and then 49 days, and then the next day of that will be the 50th day, and that will be start the Feast of Weeks or Feast of Pentecost. It's so wonderful that God uses the first day to unveil and give this very particular and very significant events in the calendar of this feast. Jesus, that's why probably because we are also meeting on Sunday, You know, the first day of the day of the Hebrews or in Israel, the first day is Sunday. Unlike we are observing, our first day is Monday. But the first day is after the Sabbath, which is Sunday. And the significant days happened on the first days, which is also reflecting the feast, is Jesus resurrected in the first day of the week. And the Holy Spirit came on the first day of the week. And the church began officially on the first day of the week. It speaks of all of new life and new beginning. Amen. This last week, the Feast of First Fruit, we said that it is the start of the harvest of barley. Now, in the celebration of Feast of Weeks, is towards the end of the harvest of wheat, which is also, it marks after that the beginning of the fall or the fall festival. The passage above, we'll see that there are number two mentioned that we have read. You know, the two offering, wave offering, the two loaves and the two lambs, which is there is a significance why the Lord our God is giving to them in on those occasions. Now, let's see the spiritual, historical Jewish significance of this feast. Let's note for the features, note on the those items that they are doing on the celebration. 50 days of the feast is also same 50 days time frame when the Holy Spirit come. And it's also the 50 is signifying the Jubilee year in the calendar of Jewish. It is a liberty, meaning every 50th year, if the people, person who has a death on you, on the land of Israel, they are going to be freed. All your debt is all going to be freed, and you know it's been removed from you in the Jubilee year of 50 years. The wave offering of the two loaves and the two lambs signifies the Jewish and the Gentile being the church. Oh yeah. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 13, this is what Paul said. For as a body is one and had many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized in one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, and have been all made to drink of one Spirit. So the two loaves and the two lambs is signifying the body of Christ, which is the Jews and the Gentiles, as Apostle Paul is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 13. You know, in the first fruit, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Lord our God forbidden the people of Israel to eat a bread with leaven. But here in the first Feast of Pentecost, as we read that the Lord are asking a two loaves that is baked with leaven. And this signifies that we believe that, yes, we has been redeemed by the blood of God, blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we still have some, commit some sin. Even though we have already been redeemed by the blood and cleansed by the blood of God. That is signifying the leaven. But there is a fine flour which signifies the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Now, what is the historical significance of the Pentecost? The Pentecost for the nation of Israel, the Feast of Weeks, is a look back of the celebration for their history when they are given the law. According to the Jewish writings, the feast occurs in the exact day that Moses received the law of Mount Sinai. Said exact days. Remember that Moses is on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. And then traveling from Egypt going to the Mount Sinai, they said it's almost 10 days. So when they received the laws, it's exact the same numbers of 50 days arriving when they receive the law from God. It is also interesting to contrast this event of giving the law with the parallel events on the day of Pentecost in the New Testament. Let's see the Exodus 19 verse 9 to 22. Let me read. The Lord said to Moses, I'm going to come in the dense cloud. This is the time when God are calling Moses to come up to the top of the mountain, where in the mountain is thundering lightning. The Mount Sinai was covered with smoke, with a very loud trumpet blast. The Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because of the Lord descended on it in fire. And the sound of trumpets grew louder and louder, and the whole mountain trembled violently because the presence of God is in there. And then he asked, God warned the people of Israel to do not come in the mountain or else they're going to be perished, that he only asked Moses to come. In Exodus 20 verse 18, now all the people witness, they are seeing what is happening on the mountain wherein Moses are on the top. They are witness the thunderings and the lightning and the flashes of sound of trumpets and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Now, there's a study, there's a book, what we call, is this written by Edward Chermany, the author of the Seventh Festival of the Messiah and Restoring of Two Houses of Israel, makes a comment about the Jewish tradition concerning this. Note, he said that it is thunder. He said it is thundering that people are seeing. And he said it's representing, probably said, he mentioned in this book that the law has been given and split into 70 kind of voices. Now, when I'm reading this, I'm gonna be, reserved. Should I share this or not? But when I read and find where is the 70 in the Bible in that those times, it's also mentioned in Exodus chapter 1, verse 1 to 5, when all the people from Jacob, his relative, going to Egypt, there are 70 persons. And also in Exodus chapter 24, it's also mentioned the 70 elders of the church, or elders in the nation of Israel, so mentioned there only in the foot of the mountain. He said that this word, this thundering, is a word splitting the voice of God in 70 nations so that they can understand it, the word and the what is the word of God is being told. In Exodus 32, 19-28, there is a time when in God told Moses, Moses, go down, for your people are doing not properly because they are encamped and they made a golden calf on there. So immediately Moses go down, and then he saw what the people of Israel are doing, and then he's got angry, and then for his anger, he throw the tablet with stone, and then it breaks. That is the first tablet of the law that God are giving to them, and it is break. And there is some, misunderstanding. There's some division on that part, and then Moses got angry, even God is got angry, and then he goes in the tent, he goes on the enter of the camp and said, whoever who is in the Lord, come to me, Moses said. And right there, all the Levites rush and goes with him. And Moses instructed all the Levites to take swords, put it in your waist, and go to the whole camp and kill your brother, your neighborhood, and your friend because of what they have done. And there are 3,000 people that very day when the tablet stone of the laws of God during the Pentecost died because of what they had done. Now let's see now the contrast of this historical event in the Old Testament to the fulfillment of in the Feast of Pentecost during the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 8. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly the sound of blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house when they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because of each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is that each of us hears them in his own native language?" And we also mark this and note this, and in Acts 2 verse 41, "And those who accepted this message of Peter when he stood were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day." In the history, in the Mount Sinai, fire has been in the mountain and billows of smoke. In the coming of the Holy Spirit is the tongues of fire that rested upon the people and enabled them to speak in other tongues. Instead of the sound of thunder, this time it was the sound of the violent rushing and mighty wind. Like Sinai, where the voice of God was heard by 70 nations in their own language, according to the Jewish tradition. The word of God was heard by all the nationalities present during that day, the time of celebration of the Feast of Pentecost. Again, in their language, as the Holy Spirit spoke through the disciples. You know, in Mount Sinai, when the law is given to them, 3,000 has died because of this disobedience. But in the coming of the Holy Spirit, in the Feast of Pentecost, 3,000 believe and have saved. You can see the contrast, church. Now, the personal fulfillment of this Feast of Pentecost is dependence. Walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit and following the law of the Spirit of life. The Feast of Pentecost is incredible importance, relying upon the works of God's Spirit to both enter in the life of Christian life. You know, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit already present there. But His manifestation is only when God is, you know, giving to a person to manifest His power and authority. You know, just like in the time of Daniel, when Joseph, when he needed to interpret the dreams of the Pharaoh. It is the power of the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he was able to interpret the dreams of the Pharaoh. But after the coming of the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is not just come and go. He resides on the life of every believer. Galatians 3, chapter 2, verse 3, is Paul said that, "I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you foolish? After beginning with Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort?" The contrast which shows how much better it is through the new covenant and the coming of the Holy Spirit to indwell to believers. Whereas the law given to Moses was written on a tablet of stone, the church is founded in a new covenant where the law is written in the hearts. The law given in the tablets in the old covenant, in the new covenant, the law is written in our tablets of hearts. Written in Jeremiah 31:33 and 2 Corinthians 3:3. Just having the law brings death, but the Spirit brings life. The law was called ministry of the death and condemnation, whereas the Spirit is the ministry of glory. The law was based on blood sacrifice, but the blood of Jesus through the new covenant speaks a far better word. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. Ephesians 5:18 said, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Now, there are some teachings that say, oh, the Pentecost is already finished. The Pentecost is already done. It's already been fulfilled. Yes, the start of the Pentecost started to the church in the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit come. That is the first celebration experience of the church. The day of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. The word "be filled" is a continuous action. In other words, it's telling us to keep on being filled with the Spirit of God. It's so wonderful to think that before, the Spirit of God will not reside to you, just come and go. But today, even this very time, the Holy Spirit can reside and are residing in every believer's life and heart. The Bible said that the temple of the Holy Spirit, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It will not stop on the day of Pentecost with the coming of the Holy Spirit. That is the start of the experience of the residing of the Holy Spirit in the church. It shouldn't be viewed that it's already been done. It is the start of the experience. The believers, Holy Spirit living, dwelling in every people. To sum up it pretty briefly, first Pentecost of Israel, there were signs and wonders in the presence of God. God gave law, 3,000 died. In first Pentecost for church, there were signs, wonders, and presence of God. God gave His Holy Spirit, 3,000 saved. It was this time the Holy Spirit empowered the early believers, especially the apostles that were left. Imagine before the coming of the Holy Spirit, how the apostles acted. They are terrified. But now, after the coming of the Holy Spirit, they were empowered. The courage, Peter stood up right in then and preached the gospel starting from the book of Joel. The disciples and others had been Jesus' followers. Before the Pentecost, there had been no body of Christ to which they could belong. On the Pentecost, all that changed. God's Spirit baptized the believers into the Lord Jesus, making them one with Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13 to 14. Now they have a brand new relationship with the Lord. From the point on, the Holy Spirit lived Christ's life through them, and they abide in Jesus through His Spirit. Pentecost becomes the marker in history, to really the many people would say, that's the moment that the church is born. Let me repeat that. The Pentecost is the mark wherein many would people say that the moment that the church is born. This is when thousands comes into faith. Now we have seen this Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, being fulfilled exact wherein the people are rehearsed 5,000 years ago and fulfilled in the time of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And also, the three feasts that we have been studied is also fulfilled in a very exact time when they are rehearsing 5,000 years ago. It is an amazing outline calendar event of God, what He is doing in the full redemption of creation, going back to Him. The point on we move on from historical fulfilled feast, which is the first four feasts, which is this spring feast, is already fulfilled 2,000 years ago with the Lord Jesus Christ and the coming of the Holy Spirit. Next week we are going to start looking the future event, which is starting from this fall festival, the Feast of the Trumpets. This Feast of the Trumpets is about to be fulfilled in the future, and we are going to look that in next meeting, which is the Feast of the Trumpet signifies the second coming of Christ here on earth for all the saints. So shall we ask Kurja to lead in worship. Five thousand years ago, the Israel and the Jews, they just keep on rehearsing all those feasts. Probably they don't really understand the spiritual fulfillment and significance. Until when the Lord Jesus Christ came, and one by one, He fulfilled and unveiled in their eyes. It is a privilege and blessing to us that we are seeing these events so clearly, the fulfillment in our spiritually and significance spiritually. And we will see that God is using this as a calendar of His plan in the full redemption of the world. Let us worship.
My soul, come awake to hunger, to seek, to thirst. Awaken
Apostle Paul said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now imagine, church, just try to look and imagine what is happening in the upper room that very day. During the day of the Pentecost celebration, the Holy Spirit come and reside unto the believer, and the born, and the church is born. And He did not left from there on to all those who believe. The Holy Spirit is residing in us, to each one of us who believe and receive Christ in their life. And He will continue to manifest His power. You know, church, the last celebration, previous celebration of Feast of Pentecost is last June 5 this year, 2022. And I do believe and pray that the victory and the power and the enablement of the Holy Spirit that is residing in you, in us, we carry His purpose in your life. Continue to be filled. He's always there to fill us and to overflow. Father, we thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for just stirring our spirit right now. Understanding that You are with us. You are in us. I pray, Father God, that let Your Holy Spirit manifest His power and glory and victory in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go into our prayer for the day. Let's lift off people in our community suffering, experiencing chemotherapy, with having cancer and experiencing having chemotherapy and radiation and surgery. Let's lift them up. Pray for the mighty hand of God to lay upon them wherever they are, rooms, bed. Every time that they go in the process, pray for their strength. Pray for protections, the good cells, to anoint all the medicine that is coming in their body. Let's pray. Let's also lift up those who are having illness and needed a word of salvation. Pray for that, you know, when they hear the word of God, that they will not harden their heart. Instead, they will receive the truth and receive Christ in their life. At the same time, pray for the healing and the miracles of the hand of God be upon them, and full restoration of health and full restoration of life in the Spirit. Let's pray.
also lift up those having infirmities, praying that God will lay hands on those parts of the body. The Lord Jesus said, God said that by His stripes you were healed. That every infirmity is in our body, God healed it. Just declare it. Pray by faith. Let us pray. So also pray for those who are suffering COVID. Pray for healing. Pray for covering the families. Likewise, those who are the frontliners, medical workers, pray also for the covering by the blood of Jesus. Pray for the wisdom. Pray for love to continue pouring in their heart, not only to serve, but only to be a salt and light wherever they are working. Let's lift them up. Lift up those who are looking for a job. Pray for provision. Pray for divine appointment of God to just open the door for them. God is our provider, and He never short in providing. Pray for faith to continue to arise in their heart. And pray for the revelations of God while they are waiting in this perfect timing of the Lord opening this job for them. Let us pray. Also lift up our mission focus for the day. Pray for China, pray for SPPJ, SPSH, and tongues and churches. Pray for Pastor Hangzhu and Pastor Ricky. Pray for covering protection. Pray for the word of God continue reach out. Pray for the courage. Pray for the invincibility from the eyes of the enemies. Pray for the harvest of souls. Pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. So pray for our port. Pray for the voice of God to continue here. Pray for the listening ears and the listening heart, an obedient heart. Pray for the spirit of unity. Pray for the wisdom upon them. And pray for the covering protection as well. Let's pray. So also lift up the fellowship, young adults ministry, single life workshop, men's ministry, Monday lunchtime prayer, pure desire, women's ministry, Tuesday lunchtime prayer, betrayal and beyond, and support group. Let's lift up those fellowship. God will continue to use and anoint that ministry to bring more souls, to equip and to reach out. Let's pray. Let's also lift up the SB 2.0 Building Resources Benefactor Vision Fund. Let's lift them up. Also lift up the pregnant mom in our congregation. Praise God, Fiona has delivered a wonderful baby yesterday. Congratulations to Pisalamet and Mimi, the grandma and the grandpa. Yeah, praise God. So let's lift up Leslie and Dayon and Haina. Pray for the covering protections, both the mom and the baby. Good health upon them. Joy. The parents, God, an expectation, the wonderful blessing that will add in the family. So let's slip up. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this day. Thank you for hearing our prayer, receiving our prayers by faith in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for dispatching the answer, Lord God, and your perfect timing, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for all the answers, prayer, that will glorify your name, that will exalt your name, O God. And thank you once again, Father God, for this feast, the fulfilled feast, Lord God, that we are learning. Let it not only become an information, God, but it is a very truth, significant truth in the life of every believer. Truth that what you have given, oh Lord God, has a significant meaning in our spiritual life. And what you have said, you fulfill it. And as you unveil, oh God, the remaining three feasts, Help us, Father God, to fully understand and grasp, O God, which is significant, Lord God, for the coming events to come. We thank you, we bless you, we honor you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy your prayer time. See you again tomorrow.